Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us and for the reminder that this is indeed your house, a house of prayer. Lord, as we come now to hear from you, we pray, dear Lord, that you'd wash our hearts and you'd speak to our hearts, and may your message for us be clear. Use even me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Are you ready? My friends, here we are at the beginning of a new year, a brand new year. But these are serious days. We see so many troubling things happening both at home and abroad. We hear about wars and rumors of wars. Nations rising up against nation. We hear of a large number of starving children and adults throughout the world. We hear of all kinds of viruses and diseases. Great earthquakes and volcanoes erupting. And an unusual magnitude and frequencies of earthquakes, tsunamis. We see Christian doctrine being hated more and more. And as a result, many have predicted the end of the world. Some predictions even go as far as to give specific dates. Let me point out to you what the Word of God says. First of all, God does give us signs that we can know that the end is near. But in verse 6 of Matthew 24, he says, "See that ye be not troubled." You see, my friends, if you have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. In fact, you should be anxiously anticipating the Lord's return with great excitement as you look forward to spending eternity in His presence. Be very careful about getting into specifics about when the Lord shall return, because verse 36 of Matthew 24 states clearly, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So stay ready, for we know not when the Lord shall return. His coming will be as a thief in the night, when we least expect Him. It could be today. It could be 100 years from now. No one knows when. The word eschatology is the study of the end times, the last days. And today we'll examine the events of the last day chronologically, as prophesied in God's Word. Each event examined in detail could be a book in itself. But we'll look at two or three of them as time allows. But here is the timeline of events as they will happen. As a matter of fact, I posted a copy of the timeline on the wall in the passage. It's been there for quite a while. So you can take a look at it when you have time. But it begins with the church age. Secondly, the rapture. Thirdly, the judgment seat of Christ. Fourthly, the marriage and supper of the Lamb. Fifth, the tribulation period. Sixth, the second coming of our Lord. Seventh, the millennial reign of our Lord. Eighth, Satan's last stand. 9, the great white throne judgment. And number 10, the New Jerusalem, the eternal state. Let me point out that the rapture and the second coming are not the same. They're two different events separated by the tribulation period of 7 years. So first we have what's called the church age. The church age is the age in which we are currently living. It began on the day of Pentecost and will continue until the rapture. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and they were given power as well as orders to preach the gospel of Jesus to the whole world. If you look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth." The gospel must first be preached to all nations. We therefore have quite a responsibility to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And John 14 tells us that he's gone to prepare a place for us and that he will come again, so that we can be with him for all eternity. During this church age, God has given us the opportunity of having our sins forgiven, washed away and forgotten through the saving blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then one day, the church of Christ will be raptured. That is, Jesus will descend from heaven to a point above the earth and call all his people to himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." And not only will we be called up to meet the Lord, but we will be given a new glorified body. It doesn't matter the ailments you have now. They'll all be gone. For we shall be changed. The arthritis will be gone. The headaches will be gone. The cataracts will all be gone. The cancer will be gone. The hunger and the bills will also be gone. Praise the Lord Almighty. For no longer will you suffer earthly pains. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, verse 51 through 53, says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Yes. "And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." My friends, when the Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." If he had just said, "Come forth," every dead person on the face of the earth would have come forth out of their graves. In Revelation 4 verse 1, the Lord said to John, "Come up hither." And he revealed to him many wondrous things. My friends, the day is coming soon when the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven to a point above the earth and say, "Come up hither." And all who have received Christ and passed away from this earth will come forth from their graves, and together with those who are saved and are alive at the time will be caught up to meet him in the air. What a glorious day that will be, for there shall be wonderful reunions with loved ones who have passed on. We will be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, and receive our new glorified bodies. Job said, "Even though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job knew that this body, or his body, would be renewed when the Lord comes. Friends, you don't want to be left behind. For being left behind means great tribulation, such as was never experienced nor seen by mankind. This period of tribulation shall continue for 7 years upon the earth, and then shall the Lord return to judge the wicked and disobedient and minister everlasting punishment for the unrepentant soul. My friend, Jesus will come for his church when you least expect it. People will be going about their usual business. Some may be on a business trip, flying from one country to another. And if the pilot, hello, is saved, he will be called up to meet the Lord with no time to land that plane. And so it will be a time of great disaster for those left behind. An unsaved mother may be feeding her baby, and the innocent child is called up and leaves that mother in great distress. Your wife might be driving you on the highway at 65 miles an hour, and if she's saved and you are not, she'll be called up and you'll be left to experience the crash and much greater tribulation to come. You could be sitting in church. The pastor and half the congregation is called up and the others remain. Which half do you belong to? You could be in surgery. The doctor has to go because the Lord called him. Millions of people suddenly missing. Ashes gone from urns, hello, bodies rising up from the depths of the ocean. It will be a day of great misery and pain, suffering and tribulation for those who are found without Jesus Christ. When will the rapture take place? It will be before the tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivereth us from the wrath to come." Romans 5:9, "Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Note that the church is no longer mentioned after Revelation chapter 6, because the church is not there. The tribulation begins on earth right after the rapture of the church. The church is mentioned in Revelation 2 verse 7, where it says, "Listen to what the Spirit says unto the churches." In Revelation 2:11 again, "The Spirit says unto the churches." In Revelation 2:17, "The Spirit says unto the churches." And on and on, and in chapter 3 verse 6, "The Spirit says unto the churches." verses, and again in chapter 3:13 and chapter 3:22, but no mention of the church in the book of Revelation after chapter 6. The church is raptured. The church is not present. In heaven, immediately after following the rapture, will be the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ is the translation of the Greek word bemer. And so it is sometimes referred to as the bemer judgment. This judgment is totally different from the great white throne judgment, which will take place after the tribulation period and the second coming of our Lord. The judgment seat of Christ is for Christian believers only, and is not a judgment to condemn anyone, but it is an award ceremony. It is a time when all believers will stand before the Lord and give an account for his or her stewardship and motives. Romans 14:10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive an award. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And then 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul includes himself as he makes it clear that this refers to us believers. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." If there is a judgment, there must be a judge. Who will be the judge? None other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are no unsaved people at this judgment seat of Christ. As I mentioned before, this is a reward ceremony, not one for administering punishment of sin. Our sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, but we will be rewarded for our work based on our motives and our stewardship. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful to their righteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 calls us to be accountable for our stewardship. "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Our motives also will be examined. The reason we did what we did, was it to bring attention to ourselves or to glorify God? Why do we give? Is it to impress others? Why do we take a leadership role? Is it to glorify God or to be recognized as someone of importance? So what will be the results of the judgment seat of Christ? There are two results. One, some will suffer loss, not loss of their salvation, but loss in the level of rewards they will receive. Our service and our worship must be true so that our reward will be sure. 2 John 1:8 says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we will receive a full reward." The second result of the judgment seat of Christ is that some will receive rewards, and there are five listed for us in the Bible. Let's look at them together. The first reward is the incorruptible crown. This crown will be given to those who overcame the desires of the flesh and brought it under subjection. The lust of the eyes, sexual sins, habits of fornication, and so on. If you look at 1 Corinthians 9:25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And then verse 27 talks about bringing your body under subjection. And the second crown is called the crown of rejoicing. This will be given to those who lead souls to our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" You see, not only is it important for you to be saved, but it's also important for you to share the experience with others. The third crown to be given at the judgment seat of Christ is the crown of life. This will be awarded to those who persevere and overcome a time of trial and temptation. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Be encouraged, my friends. Even when times seem unbearable, when you feel like giving up, trust in the Lord and persevere, for great will be your reward. Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The fourth reward is the crown of righteousness. This will be given to those who anxiously and with great anticipation look forward to the coming again of our Lord. We sing hymns. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. The King is coming. But do we mean it? 2 Timothy 4:8 says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not unto me only, but unto all those also that love his appearing." The fifth crown is a crown of glory. This crown will be awarded to faithful preachers and teachers who feed people with the word of God. The crown of glory, Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." 1 Peter 5:3-4 says, "Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." What a wonderful time we have to look forward to as ministers and servants of the gospel. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming." The fourth period or event in the timeline of the last days is the marriage and supper of the Lamb. A wedding is always an exciting and joyous time. But this will be the wedding of all weddings. It will take place in heaven. What a beautiful venue with an aisle of pure gold. The proof text is Revelation 19, 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. When shall this marriage supper be? It will be shortly after the judgment seat of Christ and before the second coming. Who will be the participants? God our Heavenly Father will be the host. The bridegroom will be the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride will be the church of God. Invited guests will be the great saints of old. And the Lord himself will serve us at that great supper. My friends, we have just scratched the surface of the wonderful events God has in store for those who love him and are found faithful when he returns. The question, therefore, is this. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? When he comes and calls his people to meet him in the air, will you be found faithful, or will you be left behind to face the great tribulation? Remember that even after the tribulation period, there is yet to come the great white throne judgment, where every person who ever lived will be present, but only the lost souls will be judged and cast into everlasting hell with the devil and his demons. Today, you can secure your place in heaven. You can reserve your seat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why wait? Tomorrow is not promised to us. Verse 44 of Matthew 24 says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such a time as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Today you can be sure. You can be sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. You must repent of your sins and accept him as your Lord and Savior. And now I ask you to bow your heads, every head bowed, and every eye closed. And if today you are not sure about your relationship with the Lord, if today you are not sure that when you die, you will go to heaven, if today you want to repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive full forgiveness of your sins and a brand new start, a brand new beginning, then just raise your hand as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Where I alone can see you, your hand, would you raise your hand, signifying, Lord Jesus, I repent today of all my sins. Wash them all away. And give me a new life. I see that hand. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come into Lord Jesus. There's still time. Raise your hand and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Everything in this life is temporary. It'll soon be all gone. All the pleasures Jesus has, much, much more for you. Eternal life, joy and peace, and life everlasting. Won't you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And so, Lord, right now I lift up anyone within the sound of my voice who is struggling to accept you, your free gift of salvation. Give them courage. Give them wisdom to know that this is what they must do before it's too late. And may your loving Holy Spirit, dear Lord, continue to work in such a heart until they surrender their all to you. I thank you for that one who raised their hand. I know that they already believe. I pray your blessing upon them, that they'll grow from strength to strength in love for you and in witness as a believer. Bless us all now, Lord, throughout the year. Use us to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we'll sing hymn number 144 as we make our transition to the Lord's Supper service.